What's up, folks? Welcome to ninoscorner.tv. This is FluffTube Edition. I'm going to make this YouTube worthy with my man, John Schneider, Dukes of Hazzard. A lot of you might remember him from Dukes of Hazzard. I remember you from Dukes of Hazzard, okay? They plot me in front of the TV. I remember you. It was 19. That ran from what, the late 70s into the early 80s, right?
79 through 85. Maybe 86, 79 through 86.
And that's where you made your big mark, correct? You were Bo Duke, correct?
Yes, I remember, exactly.
My favorite thing from Dukes of Hazzard is Daisy Dukes, by the way. So,
well, of course, why not? I'd be shocked if that wasn't the truth.
I am a straight male.
Hey, look at that. There's two of us.
I'm gonna look down upon that these days.
Hey, I'm glad to be on your show. I appreciate what you do, and I think it's great that that somebody out there is shining light in the dark places. You know,
we're gonna pull through this. We're gonna pull America back. We're gonna pull the reins back on America. This all has to play out the way it is this year. This year is the final battle, as Trump has said many times.
Yeah,
and so we're gonna know what's fact and truth and conspiracy. By this time in 2025, the dust is going to be settling. So I'm very much looking forward to it because I don't think there's any way that we lose. I think we win. As America, we win. So, John, I mean, you're still in kind of the entertainment world, the Hollywood scene. How has it changed? I mean, how has it changed?
Oh, my God.
Dukes of Hazzard. And I mean, you were reeking. You were reeking of toxic masculinity back then. How has that changed today, man?
I tell you, the biggest change is back in my day, people who were entertainers knew that that's what they were, and they didn't want to come out and try to perpetuate some sort of some propaganda. And if you were patriotic, everybody was patriotic. You know, you wouldn't dare not stand up for the national anthem. You wouldn't dare leave your hat on for the national anthem, or you'd put your hand over your heart. But in those days, people seemed to know that they were entertainers, and they worked for, I don't want to say it's all fluff, because it's not all fluff, but it's a lot of fluff. And nowadays, people have overstepped their boundaries. And I guess I could be guilty of that, too. You could be guilty of that, too. But we have to. You know, we have to use our voice. We have to use our public persona. We have to use the platform that we've been given to spread what we believe is the truth. And here is the truth. We live in the single greatest country the world has ever known. And there are those from within who are trying to take it away, being fully supported from those from the outside. It's obvious. It's plain as the nose on your face and my face. And we can't just sit idly by and let them do it anymore. We can't.
Let me ask you this. When you were playing the Dukes of Hazzard back in the late 70s and 80s, did you see, because this has taken decades to infiltrate America and make this happen, to actually get to where we're at right now. This has actually taken decades. Even Elvis Presley talked about it, you know. Did you see this materializing back then? Were you like, huh? Did your antennas start to come up and go, that's kind of strange? Or you being in the entertainment industry, did you see what's happening today? Did you see it beginning then?
I did. I did. I saw it happening when somebody was first diagnosed with AIDS rather than hepatitis C, I think it was. At first they were taught, you were a little bitty. But I started seeing a whole group of people kind of gather around this whole notion that didn't seem to be true. But you know, I was doing the Dukes of Hazzard. I was busy. I didn't have time to really think about it and worry about it. But it's not like what happened, although it was kind of the training ground, I think, for that. Is AIDS real? Absolutely, AIDS is real. But the panic, they designed a panic around both of those things so that they could manipulate under the guise of public health, the population. And we gave into it. And I was born in 1960, so I don't remember when Kennedy was assassinated, but I do think, you know, we're learning a lot about that, too. But I do think that when that happened, that's when, remember, he was in an open car going down a public road. It was a parade, but it was a president in an open car going down a public road. It wasn't bulletproof. It was, you know, it was, he was one of us. The president was one of us when Kennedy was alive. When Kennedy got assassinated, all of a sudden it gave them a reason again to be able to sequester the president, whoever they are, away from the people. So then the highest ranking public official, the highest ranking public servant, and they hate that word, but it's true, the highest ranking public servant all of a sudden was no longer part of the people. And no longer, there was no longer any sort of a relationship between us and whoever they were. And I think that was really the beginning of the end of a government by the people and for the people. That's when it started being a people by the government and for the government.
Until Trump.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly.
Trump, you know, exactly. That Trump really, yeah. You know, he's really became part of the whole MAGA movement. That's why people identify with him. That's why people love him, is because he is one of the people.
He's one of the people. He worked his way through capitalism and became very wealthy and very, very powerful. And he did it because he's smart. He did it because he's good at it. And he is the best at it because he's better than anybody else at it. And he didn't need to run for president. That was the worst decision. The best decision for you and me decided to run for president. The worst decision, he knows it, was when he decided to run for president. But I was raised that if you walk down the street and you see a piece of trash on the ground, if you don't pick it up and throw it away, then it's just as if you threw it there yourself. So Donald loves this country. He recognized that the country needed help, and he also recognized that he had a very specific skill set and he could help it. So he ran for president. And he won, and he helped it, and they hated it, because it started to move back toward a government by the people and for the people, and that's the last thing in the world that party want.
You got to really, I'm going to tell you now, I believe he was invited to run, so you got to watch my shows and see the guests that I have on. I think you're going to really love it.
I will.
We dive deep into this stuff. I mean, it's incredible stuff. I just started looking back at your career and going through it. And I saw, you know, you said some pretty, you know, controversial stuff on the internet, on social media, which, believe me, I say it all the time, but I'm not, you came from the Hollywood industry. I have a good friend of mine, Jim Caviezel, who just did sound. He's completely blacklisted out of Hollywood. Right. I mean, that's the price you pay. Yeah, great guy. And I saw that. You mind if I read it on what you wrote on social media?
Is it going to get me in trouble again?
No,
go ahead. No. Go ahead.
I believe you are good. I say this stuff all the time.
Okay, well, you say it. You say it. I'll just nod my head.
I believe you are guilty of treason and should be publicly. Your son, too. Your response is? ? Sincerely, John Schneider. So you're just stating the obvious. I mean, we're seeing what's happening right now. We're seeing all the backlash that the Biden family's taken, and everything he has done has been against this country.
Well, but that's what he's doing is criminal. Sorry to jump in here, but here's the important thing. Here is my understanding of the presidential response. First and primary presidential responsibility, my understanding is that is to protect the people of the United States of America. That is to secure our borders. To make certain of our sovereignty. Now you can't be angry at someone. You have no legal recourse against someone who just does a bad job. However, I believe what this administration is doing, including we just impeached Mayorkas, is refusing protection. And those are very important words. If you refuse protection, if you refuse to do your job, if you refuse to do your number one priority, then John Schneider's understanding is that is, in fact, treason.
100%.
If you're in a military situation and you're ordered to go do thus and so, and you refuse to do it, that's treason.
100%.
So the punishment for treason, it is. It still is. So So I didn't threaten anybody. There was no threat in there. It's my belief, and right. And we see it. We see it every day.
It's a Trojan horse. But let's put that aside, and let's
okay.
Because I want to. Because trust me, I can talk about this all day long.
Right.
But,
right.
But you were on the. So from that post, you were on the mast. Did they crucified you? Right. They went after you. Yeah, everyone went after you.
Oh yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Were you, when you made that post, were you on the Masked Singer at the time, or did that post?
I was.
So everybody, all eyes were on you at that time, and you went out and just said, "Oh,
well, my. it was. There was no plan to do it at that time. I happened to be watching. It was the final episode, and there was a something came over my X feed, which I don't really do.
So it was
Twitter.
Impulsive.
What?
It was a little bit impulsive that you wrote that. You were kind of like,
Oh, it was completely. Well, because the president had written something very derogatory. I don't remember what it was, but it was very derogatory. So I was like, well, come on, man. There, yeah. That was my impersonation, right? So I got aggravated at something that he had posted, and I responded. I didn't. I mean, really? Does he monitor his Twitter feed? I don't think so. So I don't know what in the world why that blew up, because I had said, like you said, you've said a bunch of things, and we have the right. We do not have the right to threaten anyone, but that was not a threat, which is why the Secret Service never came to get me. Okay. There was no threat made. There was no threat implied. I still have the right, even in our present society, I still have the right to believe what I believe. And so do you.
Yeah.
And I have the right to express that. So it was very impulsive. I'm from New York. I am impulsive. But I didn't say anything wrong.
You have the right to be impulsive, by the way.
I think so. I think so. And look, yeah, I got my hat. I got my Second Amendment hat here, you know, which I wear in my video. But yeah, it started a mess. But that's okay, because it's also why I wrote the song.
Did they kick
you off? Oh, no, I was. No, we were already done.
Oh, so you were done. They just crucified you afterwards.
They did. They canceled all my press the next day, but that's okay. I mean, like I tell people, if you love this country, you've got to speak up. You've got to speak out. We just a couple of days ago, as a country, sent a very, very clear message when we impeached Mayorkas. We're not going to sit on our hands anymore. We're going to be vocal. We're going to talk like you and I are talking. And we are going to collectively and legally do something about it. We're going to express ourselves. We're going to enjoy our freedom of speech. And we are going to use it to try to shed light, like I said, in the dark places like you do.
And that's why I commend people like you that are in the business that you're in, as you know, the entertainment industry. You have the balls to come out and say something. And my hat's off to you for that, because there's not
well,
no, really, man, there's not enough of you. And that's really what the essence of being a man is about, making a stand, yeah. Having a backbone. You know, my whole life I was a fighter. I was a heavyweight champion boxer. That's how I got started in this podcast. If I left boxing, went into this, but I will always be a fighter, and I'll always say what's on my mind. There's no doubt about that. That's just the way it is.
Right.
Now you kind of transition. I guess you've always been a singer, songwriter, country.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, yeah.
You're surprisingly good. I watched your video and I was like, oh, shit.
I've got five number ones. I've got five number one songs.
I didn't know that. Okay. So
it's not a hobby. It's not a hobby.
Well, look, I'm going to play one of your videos here. This is the most recent one, right? Is it the
She's Worth It. She's Worth It.
She's worth it. That's the most recent one here. And it's off your YouTube channel. So let me go ahead and share this.
Folks, check it out. It's really good. And listen to the words. The words are very important.
All right, here we go.
They're about to.
Thank you. It'd be so easy to turn our backs and walk away. Ignore the fires burning, live to fight another day. But I'm believing that no matter what it takes, her amber waves of grain should grow forever. It's a duty, it's a right, an obligation to stand for her and fight, for she's our nation. That's why we won't give up, hell no, in this lost world. She's our hero. Freedom isn't free, it's up to you and me. Brother, I believe she's worth it. Turning, we can't feel it in our bones, but now's not the time to hang it up and hunker down at home. Constitution, it isn't just a word, it's a glue that holds the whole damn thing together. Together we can make our country proud. Together we the crowd. There's freedom in our speech. Get on your feet and speak it loud. That's why we won't give up. Hell no. In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me. Brother, I believe that she's worth it. Together we can make our country proud. Together we'll all stand out from the crowd. There's freedom in your speech. Get on your feet and sing it loud.
Somebody's trying to deliver an ambulance to the CEO. Would you ask Lou or Tony to go let them in?
In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me. Brother, I believe when it's time to toss the tea, she's worth it. Yeah, 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 yeah. She's worth it. Yeah. Oh. She's worth it.
And I had no idea you had some pipes on you, man.
Thank you. I got my hat on. I got my Second Amendment hat on. I'm so proud of that song. I am so proud of that song.
That's your most recent song. Do you tour or do you go? Where are you playing? What's going on? What can you tell my audience if they want to go out and see you?
Well, the best thing to do is just, I have an app. I have an app called John Schneider. So I'm touring with that song. I'm touring with the song. This is my 26th album. I know.
26. So you were doing this before acting, correct?
Yeah, well, I started in musical theater. So I was considered that I was more of a singer who acts than an actor who sings. But this record, I'm on my way to a mad monster party, which is kind of a comic con in outside of Charlotte, North Carolina right now. But I tour. I used to do it a lot, but it killed a lot of people's touring. You know, it was a real mess. But I'm going to tour with this. But you got to catch up with me on my Facebook or the app will tell you where I am, because I'm booking more dates, now.
Your YouTube, John Schneider.
Yeah. Yep. You'll see it. Well, if you just, folks, if you go look for John Schneider, She's Worth It on YouTube, it'll take you right to my page. And then I'd greatly appreciate it if you'd subscribe. That'd be terrific.
Absolutely.
But this song, This song, when you hear about it, there's a little thing that goes by at the end. That's why we won't give up. Hell no. In this lost world, she's our hero. Freedom isn't free. It's up to you and me. Brother, I believe when it's time to toss the tea, talking about Tea Party, she's worth it. And then it also talks about the Constitution, you know, because we have a lot of people, old people, people older than me that are saying the Constitution is an old and worthless document that needs to be replaced. What in the ever-loving hell is that about? Oh. So the second verse says the Constitution, it isn't just a word. It's the glue that holds the whole damn thing together. And that's so important for people to understand. We are still living by, not only do we live in the greatest country ever, but we are living by and under the authority of probably the single greatest document ever written. And that's our Constitution, the Constitution of the United States.
Did you write the lyrics to this song, or did you
have
help?
Yeah, I did. I did. Well, I co-wrote. I wrote with a buddy of mine named Brandon Will, and we're going to write again next week in Nashville. I have a place in Nashville too, and my plan is to do a whole patriotic album and have it out for the 4th of July this year. So I'm going to write a couple of more songs. We've already written another one for our Gold Star families called "Thank You for Your Sacrifice." You know, people always thank our servicemen and their families, especially if they're Gold Star families. They thank them for their service. Well, I prefer to thank them for their sacrifice, because that's what they've done. They've sacrificed many times their lives. They've given the last full measure. And the family that remains at home has sacrificed even more. Because I got to tell you, after this last year of my life, I think it's certainly harder on the ones who stay behind than it is on the ones who go through the pearly gates.
I agree with you. And that being said, I know I said I'd just touch on this for a moment, but you lost your wife. You lost your wife last February, correct?
Yeah, it'll be a year on the 21st. A year on the 21st.
All right. How are you? You said she was your twin flame.
Yep.
I know a little bit about that. How are you coping with that, sir?
It's hard, but I tell you what has happened. I've wound up in the company of many widows and widowers. Seems like most of my friends now that I hang out with have lost a spouse, and I find great comfort in them. And I recommend to you out there, if you are on this road, I call it on the road, on this road, then open your heart up to love again. As impossible as that seems, we were not meant to be alone. It says right there in the Bible, the very beginning, right? We're not meant to be alone. And I know that the worst thing I can be is lonely, because I start to feel empty. I start to feel useless. Well, over the last little while, I've spent time with someone who also lost, they lost a husband. And I tell you, I think, This relationship, this friendship, this everything, I think honestly has saved my life, because it was bad.
I got a quote from you that said, "With great love comes great sorrow."
Yep. Yes, it does.
You understand that more now than ever, huh?
I do. But then, you know, I also understand. I think I wrote about this yesterday on Facebook. I understand that we're still here. You know, I'm not one of those people that says, well, God's not finished with you yet. I think we're here to do something. I think God is up to something, and we're part of it. So I'm not done with whatever it is. It's not that he's not done with me. I'm not done with what he has for me to do yet. So this song to me is evidence that my new mission, and I've always been patriotic. I've always loved this country, but I wouldn't say that expressing my patriotism and expressing my desire to help save this country was my mission. But now it is. Because I tell you, I prayed every day, you know, Father in heaven, why am I here? Show me why I'm here, and I will do it. You know, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Just let me know. I'm not somebody that watches the fight. I'm someone who's in the fight.
Are you very open?
And I believe he did. I believe he did, and that's my patriotism.
Are you very open about your faith? And I know you're very open about patriot, but are you open about your Christian faith?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I have been since I became a Christian, however long ago that was. I don't want to sound like Joe Biden because I don't remember the day and date. It was a little brown church in the San Fernando Valley, though. I remember the place.
I was watching a snippet of you, and I could have swore they edited out when you talked about Jesus Christ. I could have swore you were going to say something about Jesus Christ, and they edited that part out. Am I right? It was a news segment, and you were saying something about, and I know she's up in heaven, and then it sounded like they cut something out, and I was like, huh.
Probably, but I didn't. It was live, so I didn't see it, or it was right. taped and they cut it out, and I didn't see it later.
I catch stuff like that, man.
Well, that's good. That's what God's using you for.
Yeah, I always look in between the lines. Are you facing a lot of obviously you're facing a lot of backlash from liberal Hollywood, probably the music industry. Are people scared to? Are you? It's the same thing Jim Caviezel's suffering from. A lot of the people in the entertainment industry is kind of backing off. They don't really want to cut you with the 10-foot pole. Have you realized who your real friends are right now?
Can you explain that a little bit
for my audience? Because we're all suffering from it right now, even myself, because I'm so, you know, I'm very abrasive. I'm very in your face. I'm very blunt about what I believe in. I don't care. I'm a fighter. I don't care. You know, I just put it out there.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker.
Men like us are far and few between.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, now is the single greatest time to be an independent filmmaker, an independent musician, an independent writer, independent YouTube, whatever it is that you do, now is the time to be independent. So because of that, I'm not somebody who sits, my career does not depend on other people hiring me. So there's no ass I need to kiss. Okay, I make content. My content is distributed through my own systems to the public. And if the public, you know, it's all tried in the court of public opinion. If they like the song, She's Worth It, they'll get it. If they like the movie I did last year called To Die For, which is about our flag, they'll buy it. But I don't have to compromise my views or my craft in order to please someone. Or my salvation, right? Or my salvation in order to please someone with whom I don't agree with. But that's not just because you don't get there because you're a star. You get there because I don't say that because of who I am. I am who I am because I say that. And I hope you listen. I'm going to say that a different way. I don't believe in this way of becoming successful because of who I am. I am successful because I believe in this. I've always believed in it. I always knew for some reason that when Dukes was done or Smallville was done or the Haves and Have-Nots was done or Dr. Quinn or Nip Tuck or any of these shows I've been on, I always knew that it was not my phone's responsibility to ring and give me my next job. It was my job to find my next job or to create it myself. Then the internet happened and like the technology we're talking to each other on, I've got a better camera on my phone right now than, you know, this kind of a camera with a picture like this would have cost $100,000 back in 1981. So we live in a time, I'm just going to say it again, go back where I started. If you are an independent thinker, if you are an independent creative person, then by God and all that's holy, go out and do it. Take the world by the short hairs, because now is the time for such a person as you. You were born for such a time as this. I know you were, and I know I was.
Yeah, the shift has happened. It's been a paradigm shift. We are now... Yeah. In a time when we don't need the middleman anymore. You can do it yourself.
Exactly. It has to be good. It has to be good. And then you have to have take the time to develop a system with which to distribute it. I used to be on record labels, and I used to be with movie studios and Warner Brothers and Universal and all that. But that was all waiting for someone to give me my next job. And that's just not.
And what would you do for it? And what would you do?
Exactly.
You
know, that's real. For it. It is absolutely real. But that's real in everything. You know, people get promoted in just about any business, any walk of life, because they're good and because they're valuable. But there's always seems to be some little shady thing in there. If the globalists have control of the hiring and firing, you know, I'm just going to say it. I was always brought up, I would rather work my ass off for $5 an hour than be given 10 for doing nothing. It's just how I am. I want to do the work. I want to take the time. I want to build the system. I've just always been that way. My dad used to say there's two kinds of people in the world. People who are hired and people who hire. Which 100%. One are you? Which one are you? I'm somebody who hires people. I was a kid who wanted to work at Warner Brothers, but only as a means so that I could have my own studio one day. So, now I do.
I was talking to, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Natasha Owens. She had she had a big song that made it really big on the internet. And that's just an example right there of someone who just says, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. Let's see if people like it. They put it out there. She made number one on iTunes. She bumped Taylor Swift for a small time. Yeah. And so, you know, she did it herself. And that's exactly what you're talking about. I started this podcasting just one day. I hit a viral video and boom, I'm here. I am doing this. I mean, I just followed it organically. Yeah. And so, but you got to have that fighter spirit. You got to believe in yourself and know that you got to follow your star. And for me,
absolutely,
that's how it's happened for me. Let's talk about real quick, just before we wrap up here.
Oh, sorry, I hit my phone.
It's all right. I want to get your, it's cool. I want to get your opinion on the whole. I have my opinion on it. I know I can understand if you want to stay away from this subject, but the whole Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing that's going on right now. I mean, do you believe this was completely manufactured? And do you believe maybe it's just, I don't know if you're, did your screen freeze? I think your screen froze. I can't see you. Oh, well. All right, folks, I'm wrapping it up right there. That sucks. That was a good interview. I was trying to get his opinion on Taylor Swift. And bam, we got knocked off. All right, folks. Well, I did my best. I was really going to dive deep on this one. You know, I don't like to edit my videos, Joe. So you got to see the glitch happen, but it is what it is. Well, he's coming back. John, you there? You back?
Hey. Hey, my phone.
I never asked a good question.
My phone overheated. So now I've got to hold it in front of the air conditioner. What was the question? I'm dying to answer it.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, your thoughts on this my belief is it's a psyop. I think they're gonna be used to pull Democratic voters. I think to me this is completely manufactured. What's your thoughts on this? And to me, this is a prime example of selling out.
I don't know that they sold out. I think they were bought and paid for to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, really, really. So there's a difference. They weren't patriots they aren't rhinos. They're just the enemy. That's all.
Yeah.
And, I don't lament anybody for believing what they believe. I don't like a turncoat though, because I believe in loyalty. So I don't think they're turncoats. I don't think they're turncoats. But I think the fact that either one of them think that, once again, threatening to leave the country if wins, the fact that either one of them think anybody cares really is laughable. It's really, really laughable. But, you know, they're smart. The Democrats, the communist Marxist party today.
Soros bought her catalog, correct?
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. That makes it, okay. Yep. Yeah, but she was already, she already didn't think like us, right?
Right.
And it would be hard. I mean, it'd be hard to sell. Can you imagine selling $1 million a night in T-shirts and trying to be any kind of normal? So I don't blame her for her belief. I don't blame anybody for their beliefs. I just, I like to know who the enemy is. I like to know who the opponent is. I like to know their strengths. I like to know their weaknesses. But I don't lament that they've got a great left hook. I just figure out a way around it. I'm trying to talk like you.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I got that. That's good. That's what I had, by the way. So that's my bread and butter right there. Well, John, I'm not going to take any more of your time, man. I know you're on your way. Where are you headed to?
headed to just outside of Charlotte to do Mad Monster Party. It's a Comic Con, so I'll be there with my friends from Smallville. You ever watch Smallville?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Jonathan Kent. Jonathan, well, I haven't been on for years, but I was Clark Kent's father on Smallville. Clark Kent's father.
Insane. Yeah. I mean, I remember you from Dukes of Hazzard. That's to me, that's who you are. But now I like your music. So, folks,
well,
get out there.
Thank you.
No, really, dude. I thought it was going to suck. I was going to listen to it and be like, oh, no. And then I listened to it, and I was like, holy shit, this guy can sing. This guy's good. You're great, man. Folks, get up there and listen to this guy's music. This guy's got it all going for him.
Go to John Schneider Studio, johnschneiderstudios.com. That's the best place to go. johnschneiderstudios.com. And that's
S-C-H-N-E-I.
Hey, and I'm a fan of yours, so fantastic. And by the way, I have moonshine. I have moonshine, too. Since you like Dukes, I have my very own moonshine. It's called Revenuer's Reserve.
I got to say, though, I'm 4 years and 2 months sober.
Okay, then forget the moonshine. Good for you. But watch my commercials. My commercials are on YouTube, and they're fun. It's called Revenuer's Reserve. They'll remind you of Dukes of Hazzard, I promise.
Dude, I just stay the person you are, man. You're awesome. I love to have you on the show, man. And you got a friend in me, and you got a new fan in me. No bullshit. You're a great, great patriot, man. Thank you so much, John, for joining me. Seriously,
I look forward to breaking bread with you one day. You take
care.
You
got it, bud.
Say hi to Caviezel for me. Say hi to Jim. He's an old friend. All right.
I will. I'll tell him that. I'll talk to him today.
Thank you, my friend.
You got it, John.